Kia ora and welcome to Meet the Newbies. After the 2017 general election happened, a lot of new MPs entered Parliament for the first time. However, many of these MPs may not be well known outside of their electorate. So to try and change this, I decided to do a podcast, meeting with one of the new MPs each time. This gives us the chance to get to know our new lawmakers, while giving them the chance to show who they are to the public. Today, we are talking to Andrew Falloon, the new National MP for Rangitata, who has actually previously worked in government before, although not as an MP. Let's learn about him.
How are you doing today, Andrew?
Very good, thank you.
If you were to describe yourself in a sentence, how would you do so?
I think I'm fairly hardworking and determined. You know, I've worked in politics for quite a while, and you know, I think I've hopefully shown people during that time that I'm not the sort of flashiest person around, but I just really like getting stuck in and working hard.
What is your background?
So, for the last 5 years, more or less, I worked in the Beehive. Left in January, but until that point I'd been working as a senior advisor to Stephen Joyce. Left in about January and went off and worked in the banking industry for a short time. But then Jo Goodhue, who was the existing MP for Rangitata, announced that she was stepping out of Parliament. And so it was a seat that's home for me. And so I'd always had in the back of my mind that I wanted to run. And so I put my name forward for it. But if you go back a few years before that, I guess I've got a background in farming, coming from a pretty cultural area.
Who is your greatest hero? Who has been the biggest inspiration for you?
Oh, probably quite a few, actually. It's probably a little bit lame to say, you know, people like John Key and Bill English, but they have been. So, you know, what they've really shown is that, you know, National can be a popular government and can be re-elected. And the way that you do that really is by taking people along with you as you're, you know, bringing your policies through. So I guess you contrast that with Australia, for example, where, you know, Tony Abbott perhaps tried to push things through too quickly and didn't really take people along with him. And then by contrast, I guess you've seen more recently Malcolm Turnbull, who is very good at talking about things, but then perhaps doesn't follow through and do it. So it's about selling what your policy is, but then ultimately following through and do it. And so, you know, what I've learned from them, I guess, is that, you know, even if a policy you might think it is going to be all that powerful for people, so long as you explain why you're making the change, most people understand it.
Speaking on policy, what changes would you like to make to New Zealand law during this term in office?
So what really motivates me is economic development, particularly in the regions. So I'd like to really make sure that we're taking a lot of the stumbling blocks out of the way. And so for my region in particular, Rangitata, which is Ashburton through to Timaru, essentially, it's quite a provincial area. We've really been hamstrung, I think, over probably the last 20 or 30 years by a lack of investment in infrastructure. And so it's things like, things like roading is pretty basic, but actually we do need further investment in roading, and that's why National's announced four-laning the highway version, which will be very positive. But it's also some of the newer things as well. So, ultra-fast broadband, mobile black spots. I mean, we really need to be connected with the world if we want to compete with them in a trade sense. So those are things that motivate me, that making sure that, you know, we're in a really good position to trade, just making sure that we're taking advantage of those opportunities.
Speaking on trade, with who do you want to trade?
Oh, everyone. I mean, we're a very small country. We can't afford to be, you know, picky about who we trade with. China's been a big deal for us probably for the last 10 years, particularly since we signed that free trade agreement. But we can't afford to be reliant on one market. As we've seen, I think, probably mainly with China, when it does take a bit of a dip, then, you know, that can have a big impact on us. So we need to be as much as possible, you know, not putting our eggs in one basket, you know, investing in some of these new relationships in South America, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, where there's, you know, rapidly growing middle class. And if we can get in there early and start investing in those and making growing really positive relationships, and, you know, we'll be in a very good place in the next couple of decades.
So how did you get here? When did you realise you wanted to get into politics?
Probably two different parts to that question. So the first part is I've always had an interest in politics, probably going back to even high school, but certainly university, when I studied economics, and that gave me a real, hunger for wanting to know what motivates people, and you know, largely it is an economic argument, you know, people wanting to improve their own situation. And so, because, you know, largely just incentive matters. Second of all, I guess, is what motivated me to become involved in, I guess, the political process myself, standing for Parliament. It was probably something that snuck up on me. You know, I've worked in politics for a long time, but in terms of putting myself forward for a part of Parliament, I've always sort of worked in the back room and never been allowed to bring myself forward. But what it really comes back to is that, you know, this country is going to have some really significant policy debates over the next, you know, couple of decades, and those debates will really impact on my local area of Rangitata. So, you know, you look at just the last couple of months where we had, you know, a pretty heated discussion around a water tax. You know, if those decisions go the wrong way for a region like mine, it could be devastating for our economy. So it was for that reason that I put myself forward to run for Parliament, so that I can weigh in on those arguments and hopefully push them in the right direction.
So you mentioned we're going to have some significant policy talks in the coming years. What sort of policies do you think will be up for debate?
Oh, look, the environment is critically important for us. You know, just last year, I think it was, tourism went past farming as our largest export in it. So without doubt, you know, the environment is important because a lot of those tourists come here for that reason. But nor should we be looking to go out of our way to punish farmers for, in a lot of cases, no environmental gain, when we actually have to realise that, you know, large parts of our country still are heavily reliant on agriculture. So it's about making sure that we are, you know, constantly improving how we treat our environment, but also making sure that we stay competitive when it comes to our competitive markets like agriculture.
What is your dream for New Zealand?
To remain a small country, but very well placed in terms of clean and green, but a highly successful and highly developed country that engages with the world, doesn't turn its back on anyone, is seen as we often are in foreign affairs, a fair and independent arbiter, just a country that all other countries respect.
You have mentioned trade and primary industries and environment as big things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to become a minister of one of those, if given the chance?
I want to make a positive impact on my country, and particularly the area that I'm from. For the first little while, at least, that will mean being a strong and effective advocate in Parliament. If opportunities come along down the line, then absolutely I'd love to serve in whatever way I can. You know, I'm certainly not saying I wouldn't want to be a minister, because I'd love to be a minister at some point in the future, but, you know, that's going to be a long way down the track, and I've got a lot of hard work to do.
You mentioned your dream was for us to remain a small nation, but well-placed.
Mm.
So when you finish politics, would that be the one thing that you would have hoped to achieve, if you could only achieve one thing?
John Key, I think it was, once said that he just wants to leave the place in a better place than he found. And I'd love to do that as well. And, you know, no matter how long I'm in politics, whether it be 3 years, 12 years, you know, 25 years, or whatever it is, I just want to see the country in a better situation than it is today. That's not to say it's in a bad situation now, but, you know, we should be constantly improving things for the next generation.
Do you mind if we move on to conscious issues?
Yeah.
Decriminalisation of abortion, is that something you would support?
I mean, we have that in all but name now, and I've always been a strong supporter of a woman's right to choose. So in terms of if there was to be a law change to, I guess, further liberalise it, I'd need to see what law change that looks like. But effectively, at the moment, we have a woman's right to choose, and it's in all but legislation, so I'm comfortable with that situation, but if there was a further proposal brought forward to change it, then I'd be able to look at it.
Cannabis legalisation and or cannabis decriminalisation?
Not for the general population. I'm open to the idea of medicinal marijuana, certainly, but not in terms of the average person on the street, because it does have significant side effects, particularly for younger people where their brains are still developing. So I'd have pretty grave concerns around that. But there's obviously some arguments out there from the medical fraternity around medicinal marijuana, which I'd be happy to look at that.
The Māori seats, do you support their retention?
Yep, I do. You know, that is a decision for Māori ultimately, when they are to go. I don't always get rid of them until Māori really do so.
What would you do with the current amount of MPs in the House? Would you like to raise them? Would you like to lower them? Or is it good how it is?
Oh, I certainly wouldn't raise it. You know, we've got an MMP system, which does require a reasonable number of MPs. The country made the decision a few years ago to retain MMP. And so my view is that to maintain proportionality, you do need probably a slightly larger number of MPs that some people might be comfortable with. So 120 is probably about right. Otherwise, you have issues with proportionality or electorates just being too large in their population.
Would you support New Zealand becoming a republic?
Yeah, I think we're heading there over time. I don't think we're ready for it now, and I don't think it's a conversation that I'm willing to have just yet. But I certainly think in the next few decades, it's a conversation we'll have. I support having that conversation. I'm pretty agnostic on it, to be honest, because I think the current situation works pretty well. But nor is it the Shulman Adina ditch over if we can do a dual hobbit. That's fine.
What makes you think we're not ready for it yet?
My sense, and it is only my sense, is that most people are fairly comfortable with the current arrangements with the Queen. You know, there's obviously some public discussions about what might happen further down the track if Charles were to become king. That might be a point where the public might decide they want to have a discussion about it, but you know, certainly going around talking to people, I don't get the sense that it's a particularly hot issue. I think there's far greater issues we should be discussing at the moment. Rather than that, I mean, you know, we've got huge issues in this country with things like youth suicide. They are much more important issues for me than whether or not we're going to be a Republic in the next few years.
And finally, you're trapped on a desert island with an MP from an opposing party. Who are you going with?
To be honest, we've been having induction in Parliament for the last couple of weeks, and I think there's about 18 or 19 or so opposition MPs that we've come across, and they're all lovely people. So I'd honestly pick any one of them. Thinking about Labour specifically, Kerry Allen's good fun. But look, I mean, honestly, all of them are fantastic. Looking around at the existing MPs, Winston Peters might be a bit of a character. He might have a bit of bottle of whiskey tucked away somewhere that would while away a few hours on a desert island. So look, I mean, to be honest, I haven't come across many MPs who don't go into politics for the right reasons. They all, my sense is they all do. Most of them are genuinely good people and only want the best for the country. So, with maybe a couple of exceptions, I think the vast bulk of them.
That is all I have for today. Andrew Flynn, it's been great speaking to you. This has been Meeting the Newbies.